Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclico's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclico Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, hi, Jim. I always enjoy our Friday get-together with you and with our listening audience out there.
And we enjoy answering listener questions. Our first one comes from Henrik B. His questions are quite lengthy here, so please bear with us. I believe Bob's been forecasting the post-bubble contraction in which gold stocks significantly outperform SPX for close to 15 years. What's SPX?
Standard & Poor's.
Okay. And had it not been for the global money printing post the 2008 crash, this scenario would have materialized back then.
Okay, now let's stop there.
Okay.
The 2008 was a fabulous boom in commodities. And then that was repeated with an almost fabulous boom in commodities in 2011. That does not complete when the action is mainly in commodities. It's not a financial bubble. It anticipates the financial bubble about a decade later, and that completed a year ago, January, February. So it's on schedule, and we can continue.
Henrik says, I personally believe it's always good to question one's investment thesis and not to be too married to a belief. So in that context, what makes Bob certain that the post-bubble contraction in which gold stocks will outperform the Standard & Poor's for a considerable number of years will happen now?
Let me finish on this one. This is lengthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. The decade, you get a great bubble a decade later. And then within that, in the final year of the great financial mania, copper's real price goes up, and it did. Gold's real price goes down, and it did. And then as you get into the transition to the contraction, copper's real price goes down, and it has. And gold's real price is close to going up. And on top of this, there's another one. Real long interest rates go up painfully, and it's been painful so far. And then another feature of a post-bubble contraction is the senior currency becoming kind of firm, steady, up, and we've had a very strong rally in the dollar up to 114, and it's corrected down to 101, quite a big correction. So let's continue with the thesis.
Mm-hmm. Henrik asks, or could the establishment, central banks, governments, etc., succeed in kicking the can down the road once again?
No. In each time, there has been a senior central bank, and as far as evidence goes, they have attempted to inflate during the contraction, and were overwhelmed by the natural forces.
Mm-hmm. Now, the second major question here from Henrik, using the HUI, HUI, or
It's gold stocks.
Sure. As a proxy for gold stocks, there's a long-term parallel trend channel dating back to 2001 with the upper trend channel at 1,200. Is the HUI 1,200 a fair forecast guesstimate for a long-term target, or which long-term target do you envision for the outstanding gold stock bull market?
Yeah, the key thing is not going back to 2001. The key thing is where we are now, and you had the gold stocks, and we wrote about this in June when we jumped to using gold divided by the CRB as a proxy for gold's real price. And that study in June called for a low for the gold stocks in October, November, and essentially they bottomed in that period. And then we'd worked our way into a lengthy bull market. So the point is not 2001, it's what's happening in the last year. And we did have a mighty washout in the gold stocks, and the advice was to accumulate. And then the most recent advice was we're looking for a correction in gold. You know, it kind of got overbought. But the advice on gold stocks is to buy the dips, and we'll continue with that.
Mm-hmm. Now he also asks, any guesstimate on whether it'll take 5 or 10 years or longer to reach the top for the HUI?
Yeah, it's out there. In each post-bubble contraction, you've had the business cycle, the 3 to 4 year business cycle comes and goes, and that influences the action in the Standard & Poor's or the action in gold stocks. But the main thing is, on the rallies, we'd expect the gold stocks to outperform the Standard & Poor's, and you get a couple of quarters of that happening, and then you're going to get some equity fund managers who would not normally position golds. They'll have to get in because it's a high-performing sector. That's going to be fun to watch. Hey, this has been a terrific essay plus questions, Henrik. Thanks a lot.
Our next question comes from Jessica from Canada, that tiny little nation.
Yeah.
Jessica asks, hello, Jim and Bob. Thanks for taking time each week to share your wisdom. Bob, you mentioned the global elitist madmen are set to fail in their totalitarian plans. I wonder what that process looks like for the rest of us and how long it would take to play out. Some friends of the show talk about World War III coming. What are your thoughts on the remainder of this decade and what it might look like? Thank you, Jessica from Canada.
Very good. Yeah. The first part is it's been an authoritarian experiment. And my definition of when it goes totalitarian is when the governing classes grant themselves the privilege of state murder. Fortunately, we're not there yet. But what happens is that another line of use is that it is in your face and in your wallet government. And folks are getting fed up. So what's going to happen on the next? Well, we think that the recession has started, but it is not painful yet. So when it gets painful, then the folks are going to take a look at the evil, which is intrusive governments, and begin to move against it. So it's a reform movement of excessive politics, and they have happened before. Now, the question about World War III, I doubt it. There's a horrendous conflict, as we know, between the great powers in Ukraine. But I think as Russia goes broke and realizes it's broke, and also realize that Putin's judgment on that, when he first started a year ago, he thought he'd have control of the political capital within 2 weeks, and he misjudged it. And then his judgment is still bad enough that he can't back out. But when they run out of money, then he could be deposed or something like that. So, but a World War III, no, I don't think so.
Our next question comes from Justin in Berkeley, California. Justin says, over the years, Bob and Ross have used the gold-silver ratio as some kind of credit spread proxy to predict credit distress. It seems like it has been moving a bit since late January. Is it time to Irish goodbye the markets? That's leaving a party quietly, not alerting the host, usually when the party is lame.
Oh, I like that. I've not seen it described as an Irish goodbye, but...
Oh, no, not the Irish goodbye.
Just creep out. Ages ago, yeah, I was at some parties like that. Yeah, the gold-silver ratio is an amazing ratio, and... we've used it the other way around, like the silver-gold ratio, when you're in a great boom. And silver does, in a boom for gold and silver will outperform gold. Now, what we, oh God, it was a long time ago when we came up with this one, is that you do a momentum thing, the RSI, the weekly RSI, on the silver-gold ratio. And in April of 2011, at that huge party, with great convictions, that weekly RSI got up to 90. So we had known from research years ago that the only other time it ever got to 90 was in January 1980, and that insane global speculation in precious metals. So that's what gave us the out on the sector mania then. The opposite didn't quite work for us recently, but as I said, in answer to a previous question, we did expect the lows in the gold sector in October, November, and we accumulated on that. So things. So, anyways, the Irish goodbye, and the gold silver ratio is a credit spread. All you have to do is observe it, and we labeled it that, called it the metallic credit spread. Now, this is, we're looking at the gold silver ratio, and it has been rising lately, and if it does a major jump in here, it will signal that the next credit distress coming along. Maybe that might be after mid-year, but we watch it closely every day. And thanks for the question.
We'll have more with Bob Hoy right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Bob, some of the headlines that caught your attention today. The first one, Central Bank gold reserves chart second highest increase since 1950.
Hey, oh, that's something different going on, isn't
you
got it?
Ike, like Ike.
Yes. The reason for it is, I'm guessing, of course, not having any personal contacts with central bankers anymore. The central bankers, for the first time in history, I guess, took an enormous hit in the bond market. They were long bonds up the yin-yang. And then you had a fabulous crash in bond prices. So that was a shock to the system. And then they're buying gold, some of them are. But going away back before the age of modern economics, it was given that a central bank reserve was gold and nothing else, maybe some short-term stuff occasionally, but essentially a gold reserve. And it works wonderfully well because it limits the amount of credit and currency that a central bank can issue. Of course, the central bankers say that the gold standard restricts their ability to manage the economy, but they don't manage the economy. They just recklessly push out credit all the time. And in one decade, the commodities fly, and then in another decade, financial assets fly, and then they all crash.
Headline, giant commodity trader faces massive losses after missing nickel fraud uncovered. What's the story there,
Oh,
Bob?
Yeah, there was a huge manipulation in the nickel market, so suddenly there appeared shortages, and it spiked straight up. Everybody went crazy about nickel. But in previous periods, like in the 1873 bubble, it was associated with a really good market for copper, and in the U.S., the major copper miners and smelters got together and had sort of a cartel going, and then they all ended up long copper, and then the markets crashed because we went into a post-bubble contraction, and Barings, the major London merchant bank, helped out for quite a few years. And then about 15 years later, they still carrying that copper position. And then they had a problem with the Argentinian bonds crashing. So Barings, the great bank, then had a momentary failure. So this is similar a great manipulation in a base metal, and a massive spike in price, and that ruins everything on the way up and then on the way down. So this will take many, many years to sort out the problems, and it'll be interesting to see which of the London merchants or which of the banks are offside on this thing and get whacked. But somebody's going to get whacked.
Japan adopts nuclear energy in major turnaround since the Fukushima meltdown in 2011 after the earthquake.
Oh, yeah. I like the headlines, the turnaround. They've changed their policy. Because nuclear power, in any sort of power source, you want to look at the density of the power source, and the density of nuclear fission is enormous. It's fabulous. So they're going to go to nuclear power, but the new power plants are smaller. You can have them in a modular form, so you can build a number of them relatively near to where you may be using the electricity. But also they are a lower pressure reactors, and so yes, I think the world is going to go to uranium-powered and derived electricity. But that doesn't mean there's going to be a bid for uranium in the ground and the uranium miners are going to be fabulous. No, because these new reactors, they can use all the old radium all the old uranium that's hanging around. So, yes, the world is going to go to nuclear power, but it won't put a huge bid in for uranium prices.
Headline, junk loan market shrugs off economic worries.
Oh, yeah. They've been buying low-grade stuff like it was going out of style. Now, junk itself has had a nice rally. And I did it the other day. Oh, about 8 points on 80-priced bond price. And then I looked at even worse. It was international junk. And it has rallied 10 points on a thing that's priced out at about 40. So the action in the worst of junk has been fabulous. Hey, there's no regard for risk out there. I hope we see some technical excesses on this soon and can make a nice call on it.
Headline, the devaluation run in emerging markets is just getting started.
Yep, this is where individual countries, their central banks run out of any kind of reserve, and the currency crashes, and local interest rates soar. That's the way it works in lesser countries, so that's been happening. Now, Jim, I think if we could just jump to the last question, or the last headline.
And that would be Ferrari Air races onto world's richest list with 400% stock boom.
Yeah,
yay, Ferrari.
The Ferrari company is publicly traded.
Hmm.
And it's been on a production boom where the newer models are selling quickly and at some very high prices. But I kind of liked it. I'm an old car nut from way back, and pleased to see that somebody's making some money out of it. Now, the other thing is older collector item Ferraris from the early 1960s. Mm. The 1962 or 63 GTO. I think the last price I saw on one of those was something like $58 million for one car, which is incredible. And you go back to the late 60s, so a 1962 car. In the late 60s, that would have been an old, no longer competitive race car. So you might have been able to buy one of those for $5,000 or $6,000. Now it's $58 million. I love the action. It's great.
Yeah, well, my 944 Porsche, there aren't a lot of those models around anymore because after a while they became cheap and high school kids wrapped them around telephone poles. They didn't know how to handle the power.
I like the 944. I think that's a great car.
It looks great.
Mm-hmm. It goes great.
I didn't have the turbocharged one because I just thought it burns out your engine faster. I never got a speedy.
The handling on that one was really the suspension and everything set up nicely.
Yes,
I never owned one, but I did admire the car.
The handling was great. I never had a speeding ticket because I didn't speed in it. I just got to the speed limit quickly and safely, and the handling was superb.
I got to tell you about getting pulled over for driving too fast, coming down from Whistler one time in a long straightaway, and the Mountie pulled me over, and he looks in the window, and he says, well, he says, we got you for over 100 clicks in an 80-click zone. And he looked like a nice guy. So I said, officer, you may have got me for speeding, but thank goodness I wasn't going fast. And he did a double take. And he says, that's a good line, but you're going to get the ticket anyways.
Yes, it's like in Montana. They had to put speed limits on, otherwise they'd lose their highway funding from the federal government. So speeding tickets in Montana, when I was young, $5.
Wow.
Bob, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Yeah, Jim, good to be with you, and looking forward to next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. As you heard, Bob loves to answer your questions. You can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.